all. Thank you for all of your Mazel Tov wishes. It was very nice of you. Now you understand why Sunday night was a little hectic and yesterday I was a zombie. My daughter called me. I literally went to bed at 12:49 and at 12:50 my daughter said, "Havok." So we came, we ran out and we took care of the kids and Baruch Hashem. So thank you for your wishes. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should have a lot of simcha. A lot of simcha. We need simcha in this country and this people of ours. Okay, second of all, welcome back, Ellie. Okay, welcome back, Ellie, and to have your dad with us is also a big schus. Thanks for joining us in Yeshiva, and it's nice to have you for a couple of days. Dovi, do you have sheets for everyone that come in late? And, okay, thank you. Okay, let's review the last two shiurim, and then let's see where we're heading today and tomorrow and the next day. A lot of really good methodologies, a lot of good stuff. Okay, so get ready. This is a really nice sugya, as I promised you. It's not hyper complicated. It's not like it's going to blow your mind off, but it is going to be really methodological and a lot of good tools. Again, my apologies that things are a little bit hectic with the sheets and the WhatsApps and the Makaros. Again, it was just at some point where I was taking my three grandkids to Ghana or something, so I got to get Makaros out. So I don't know what I did send and what I didn't send, but I apologize if it's a little bit helter-skelter, but hopefully this year we'll make up for it. Okay, let's see where we are, where we're at, and where we're heading. Okay, so let's start. Zev, take a seat. This is where we're at. We have the halacha of Eish, and the simple pshat of Eish, if you stopped anyone in the street and said, why is Eish chayiv? Yeah, it's like, you know, it's in the Mishnah. Shor, bor, maveh, hever. Big debate what the Mishnah refers to, but everyone says Eish is in the Mishnah. And somehow I have to shoehorn Eish into Mamona Shehizik. That's Rish Lakish's position. The simple pshat, and I'm very, very happy to announce, right, I never want the Yishurim to be out of the freezer, as if I haven't learned it in 20 years, and I'm just, you know, you guys are learning Bava Kamma, and I'm learning Bava Kamma. So I may have learned it a few more times than you have, but I'm working as hard as I can with the time available to always understand more of Bava Kamma and understand more of Hashem's Ratzon. So I actually found something I never found before, and just hit me last night. I said, the simple pshat, how can Eish be Mamon? After all, you don't own Eish. It's a chemical process. It's not a substance. It's combustion. Blessed by Mamasha, as the Gemara says. So we said the simple pshat for Rish Lakish is the word mamon doesn't really mean mamon. Come on. It doesn't really mean monetary ownership. You don't really own fire. You can't own fire. Okay, let's just do a good chazara. So please, everyone, open up your Tosfos. This Tosfos says in Daf Chaf Beis and Aleph. Tosfos doesn't tell us what it is. He just tells us not to read mamon literally. Isha Misha Mimona, as I told you, Chaf Beis and Aleph has like six or seven small Tosfos, and each one is juicier than the next. So Tosfos, Isha Mishum Mimono, Kolomar, Chiyav Mimono, Yeshbo. It's like Shor Bor. And it's like it's a chiyuv that's under the category of mamon, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan's category, which we'll develop today, called chitzav slash adam, whatever that means. Okay, so it's not really mamon. Tells us what is it? Tells us doesn't tell us. What I think it is pshia. If Rish Lakish says that Eish can be compared to all the other mazikim, it means that ownership isn't really a prerequisite to being chayiv for niskei mamon. Most people that own it have to watch it. Since you have to watch it, and you didn't watch it, you're a poshea. But a ganav is also chayiv if he steals an item when the damages the item performs, because he now has to watch it. A shomer is chayiv. Maybe an apitropos is chayiv. So if someone stops you on the street in Teaneck and says, prove to me that ownership isn't the drive, Teaneck, right? Isn't the driving force of the chayiv of niskei mamon. You say, look, if Rish Lakish is willing to be a chayiv on fire, we all know you don't really own fire. Like, of course, you're chayiv because of the pshea. That's what we talked about the last 2 days. I told you it's intuitive. I told you it doesn't need a Rishon to say it. It makes a simple pshat. The others are more novel and innovative. And then I was just looking through the Panei Yeshua and I said, you know what? That's exactly what he says. And it reminds you that if you're learning Panei, if you just sit and learn the Gemara and Panei Yeshua, there's just so much information that you don't know how to process it. If you build the sugya in your mind with the Rishonim, and then you look back, reverse them, and finish, oh, now you know what you're looking for. You pick up these little nuggets of gold from Achronim who don't write in Brisker style, but obviously didn't thought in Brisker's lumdus, but intuitively. They were thinking 1,000 miles a minute. I told you, Rishonim were intuitive Briskers. Many of the Achronim, they were thinking in categories, but they didn't provide the language. So let's look at the Panei Yeshua. Did someone put it on the WhatsApp? Anyone put it on the WhatsApp? No. Okay. So I'll put it up for you. Look at this Panei Yeshua. I'll just send it to the WhatsApp now, and literally look at what he's saying. It's a really, really short Panei Yeshua. I don't want to take a selfie of myself. Okay, thank you. Oh, so he did send the text. Okay, so here's the. Oh, you sent the. You did say. Oh, you sent the second one. Okay, here's the first one. Okay, the two Pnei Yeshuas. All right, right? Okay, so here's the first Pnei Yeshuas. It's a small one. B'tos was dibra maskel isha mishum mimono kolomar. Chiv mimono yesh. Well, he's picking up on our Tosfos. Namely, it's not really mamon. Perish. Shahatara chiv osa al isha. Going to Reish Lakish. Mishum shechayiv l'shamro. You don't own fire. You can't own fire. But you have to watch your fire the same way you have to watch your animal. Ownership by animal requires shmira. Lighting a fire makes you have to watch the fire, even though you can't own fire. When Rish Lakish said mamon, he didn't really mean mamon the way you and I say mamon. He meant just like shor and boar, you have to watch because you own. That requires a chiyuv shmira, let's say by shor, maybe not by boar. Similarly, by esh. So literally, what we've been saying the last 2 days, now we can take a nice blue magic marker and say this is the Pnei Yehoshua. But again, you're not even the Pnei Yehoshua, it's intuitive. You just read the Gemara with an open mind, that's what you would say, because you can't really own fire. This is the Pnei Yehoshua. The problem with that is, the Gemara gets all caught up with Reish Lakish, okay? And here's a good chance just to map out Reish Lakish, okay, guys, this way. See, when you come in late, you distract 25 people. They can see you get the sheet later. No problem. It's all right. Don't make. It's all right. Just trying to get everyone back into the shir. Okay, back here. Okay. The problem was there are four brisos that the Gemara quotes against Reish Lakish, and this is a good way to map out the sugya, because today we're going to move from the Reish Lakish conversation to the Biachron conversation. So before we review yesterday's shir, let's just map the four questions the Gemara has on Reish Lakish. The first two questions are the same type of question. Question number 3 and 4 are new questions. So let's just see the two questions we've seen. The two questions we're not going to really see because they're not really big questions in Reish Lakish. I mean, they're understandable questions. The opposite, we're going to try to gauge these in Rabbi Yochanan. So what are the two questions we saw yesterday? Question number 1 from the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph and Beis, which is how we got into Eish to begin with on Chaf Beis, because of the case of a kelev shenatal charara, where a dog takes a piece of cake upon a coal. It's a combination of Shein and Eish, possibly Tzvaros and Karen if the dog throws the fire. It may be Tzvaros, it may be Karen if the dog pushes the fire with its nose, the way the Rebbeinu Chananel understood. All these cases in Shas are all conceptualizations. This case never happened in a million years. They're all Chazal trying to spin cases that combine multiple layers of logic. So Kelev Shenatal Charara is a great way to talk about Shein, Eish, Tzvaros, and Karen together. No bore here. And the Gemara says, the Bala Kalev is chayev for burning down the field. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense. Just like Eish is my chitzav, whatever that means. We'll talk about that today. Similarly, when my dog takes the Eish, so it's chitzav de Kalev. So we know why I'm chayev for my Kalev's chitzim, my Kalev's, whatever that word means, but Ari will figure it out today. But according to Reish Lakish, how could I be chayev for my dog's fire? Lav memono de Bala Kalev. I don't own the fire. Huh? Who cares about on the fire? Mamon doesn't mean mamon. Mamon means shia. I should have watched my dog from taking fire, just like I have to watch my fire. Or I have to watch my dog from taking someone else's fire. What's the worst problem? The same scenario repeats itself in the next question. The next question is from the Mishnah Tzemach Beis. In this case, not a dog, but a camel. It's not a piece of cake with a coal. It's flax laden on the camel that gets lit by fire from the chanot, from the store. And Gemara says the same thing. Bala gomel is chayiv unless the store owner put the fire outside. So Gemara says, Bishlam, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it could be my chaitz. In this case, it's the chaitz of the gomel. And therefore, the bala gomel is chayiv, the koach of the gomel. According to Reish Lakish, how could the bala gomel be chayiv? Who cares whether the camel owner owns the fire? We don't take the word gomel seriously. It's just Shia. These two Gemaras convince Rashi, and possibly Rabbeinu Peretz, and possibly others, that the word mamon doesn't mean pshia. The word mamon has got to be taken a little more literally. And before we get to the rest of the map, we'll just review the shia. So we have two ways to view mamon if it's literal, if it's not pshia. One way to view it is maybe you own fire. Even though it's hard for us to imagine owning fire, it's just a chemical process of three issues. There's nothing substantive to it. It goes out at a certain point. Maybe asana kaz of kilo b'shus. There's certain items that defy classic guidelines of ownership. Can't own chametz because zasher bana. Tar makes you own chametz. Asana kasev. We saw that Tosfos Chachmei Anglia rejected. Tosfos Chachmei Anglia Pesachim says, okay, asana kasev kilo b'shuso is bor, and asana kasev kilo b'shuso is chametz, not esh. Who says that's true? Maybe when the Brisa says, Asana Kasov Kilo Bishusa, Bor means Bor and Esh. We'll see a lot in this sugya, Bor and Esh are cousins. Bor and Esh have very similar DNAs, and we'll flip them around. Maybe Esh is more Asana Kasov, maybe Bor is Asana Kasov. So just like the Torah, abracadabra is Bailos and Bor, maybe you can abracadabra is Bailos or Esh. We saw that. It could be Rashi saying that. But we developed a whole new principle in Rashi based on the Beinu Peretz. Again, Rashi Beinu Peretz's anatomy of the sugya is different. But Beinu Peretz says the word Baal or Mamun here doesn't really mean that you are the legal, monetary, fiscal owner of fire. You can't. But you can own the hazard of the fire. Even though you don't own the substance of something, you can own the hazard. We call that Baal HaTakala. You are the author of this hazard. You, Baal, of course, doesn't mean you own it. You are the author of the hazard. You're the person who created this hazard. And we already know from Bor, we've seen this Gemara several times, that you can be chayiv, not for the nezek, because it's not your Bor, it's just a rabim, the nezek threw himself into your Bor, so you can do anything. You're chayiv because you are the yotzer hamazik, or the Baal HaTakala, different ways of saying it. Azari, we have to then crunch what exactly that means. And we saw the Beinu Peretz applying that Baal HaTakala business from Bor to Esh. The word mamano doesn't mean you own it. It means you're the Baal HaTakala. We saw this concept on steroids. Who remembers who stretches Baal HaTakala, not just from Bor to Esh, but to every single mazik? Remember yesterday? Tosfos and Daf Nun Vav. Because Tosfos and Daf Nun Vav talks about a Niganav who doesn't perform a Maisa Ganev on an item, but is Mamed Behemas Chaver Al Kamas Chaver. You escort your friend's animal to someone else's Rishus without ever taking possession, and you're Chayiv. A million different ways you would have to understand that Gemara, but Tosfos understood the Gemara that you're the Yotzer HaMazik, Kilu Asuhu. So if you can be the Yotzer HaMazik for Regel and Shein, you can certainly be the Yotzer HaMazik in Esh. That's an extremely radical position to take in Tosfos. Rabbi Soloveitchik loved this Tosfos. I mean, Soloveitchik loved Daphne and Vavim and Beis. Those two Tosfos in were gold. One is about the Ganav and the Shomer being Chayiv, one is about the Yotzer HaMazik being Chayiv. I can't tell how many times. I always like go-to Tosfos in Baba Kama. But even if we don't get it as extreme as Tosfos, if we say it by Bor, we can say it by Esh, and that's what Rish Lakish means. And that's, at least according to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel, why the Gemara is such a hard problem, being Mechayev, the fire of the dog, being Mechayev, the fire of the Gamol, took it from the storefront. Not that the Gamol doesn't own it, or not that the dog doesn't own it, but since someone else lit the fire, so the Gemara says you can't call that the dog authored a fire. You can't call that the Gemara authored a fire. But someone else, you'll appreciate this, he said this yesterday, we didn't start the fire. The dog and the Gemara didn't start the fire. Someone older. Someone else started the fire. Someone else started the fire. You can't be the Yotzer HaMazik. Now yesterday we said, well, let's gauge that. It could be that you're always the Yotzer HaMazik, and that's Rabbeinu Peretz's position, and therefore the Rabbeinu Peretz couldn't understand the Gemara. So Mechayev is the Yotzer HaMazik. Again, what's the whole big deal about Lav Mamonah Baal HaKelev? Once the Kelev moves it, he can be the Yotzer HaMazik. So again, if I'm a Baal HaTakala, why can't the dog be considered the new author of the damage by relocation, someone talked about yesterday? And therefore the Rabbeinu Peretz had to learn the sugya like Tosfos. I'm not going to repeat the way Tosfos learned the sugya. Whereas Rashi could have felt, no. Once someone else lit the fire, Lav Mimona de Baal HaKelev is a problem. The Kelev can never be the Yotzer HaMazik. The Gemol can never be the Yotzer HaMazik. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. And therefore, the Gemara's answer has to be that the animal threw it, or that the Gemol touched other items with the fire, which would not be Esh, because Esh is not where you use the fire to touch something, so the fire goes. We had middle positions yesterday. There's a middle position that maybe you can be a Yotzer HaMazik when someone else's fire, depending on two factors. One factor is lifting and redepositing, the way the Rabbeinu Chananel understood the sugya. If the dog were to lift up someone else's fire and then put it back down, idea just like the Gemara in Chavta says, that if I lift up someone's dung in Rishus HaRabim and put it back down, I'm the new Yotzer HaMazik, Estalku Hu Maiser Rishon. So maybe the dog would be the new Yotzer HaMazik. And we also saw maybe the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rambam's shot that by Pishtan in the end, Rish Lakish would admit that since you didn't take a fire and fuel, you just took a fire, but you provided your own fuel, namely the Baal HaGamol provided the Pishtan, so therefore maybe the Gamol can be, and therefore the Bein Hanan and the Rambam don't require the Ukimta of Misach Seches in the end, because the Gamol provides the Pishtan, and it can be the fire that the Gamol created, this way, guys. Okay, a little mental tenacity. Okay, I'm going to teach you guys to focus on things in life, no matter what's happening around you. I love when helicopters go, looks on top. Okay, got to learn to focus in davening. Okay, for the rest of Shir. I don't want anyone to look at anyone who comes in. Okay, see if you can have the mental tenacity. Focus on the Gemara. Don't get distracted. It's really important in life. Focus, okay? Everyone pop your ADHD pills and we'll get going, okay? Let's go. Focus in on the Gemara. Okay. So this is what we saw yesterday in terms of our models. We built three models. Pshia, monetary ownership, or some form of Baal Takala. Before we make the jump to Yochanan, let's just finish Reish Lakish. Again, there's no great Chidushim in Reish Lakish, but after the dog question, and after the Gamal question, we have the following question. The Gemara spins a case of Kimlei Bidrabamine, based on a Mishnah on Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph. So let's turn to the Mishnah just to have reference point. A lot of turning pages, as I promised you. A lot of turning pages, because we're always looking in two different locations. Okay, so it's not really a Mishnah, but okay, so you know what? Since it's not really a Mishnah, we'll just read it in Gemara. We don't need to go to Samach Aleph. It's not like there's anything unique happening in Samach Aleph. There's a Braisa. I'm sorry, it's not really a Mishnah. It's a Braisa, where if I am someone that kills another human being through Eish, I'm putter on the collateral monetary damage. What do we call that principle in halacha? Kimlei Bidrabamine. So Eish is a candidate for Kimlei Bidrabamine. If I chas v'shalom kill you, Kimlei Bidrabamine. If I'm chal Shabbos and I do damage, Kimlei Bidrabamine. Chinish is that when I kill someone through Eish, then I'm a Kimlei Bidrabamine candidate. So the Gemara says again, line number 6. Okay, we're going to get to this Gemara maybe today, maybe tomorrow. But let's just read it just to put Reish Lakish on the side. Bishlomba lamanda yama ishim rishom chitzav. If Eish is my arrow, so by shooting you with an arrow, I murder you, chas v'shalom, I'm a Kimlei candidate. So by setting a fire that kills you, I'm a Kimlei candidate. El lamanda yama ishim rishom mimono. But if it's ishim mimono, how can I be a Kimlei candidate? It's whatever mammon is, I didn't do it. My animal, my fire did it, whatever. I'm not, if my animal kills someone, I'm not a Kimlei candidate. So again, the Gemara says, the Gemara answers according to Reish Lakish, Kishahitzis begufa shel eved. This is the classic answer for Reish Lakish. If you set a fire and the fire goes, that's mammon. But if I take a fire and put it on your head, that's not Eish, that's Adam Amazik. Just like if my animal takes a fire and puts it on the city, b'mesachsechas kol ambira, that's not Eish, that's animal damage. The animal takes the Eish and uses it like its claw, like its teeth, like its horn. So that's not Eish. Eish is setting a fire and letting the fire move forward on its own momentum. We'll see what that means a little bit today, Mirat Hashem. So that's not Eish. This is the classic solution according to Reish Lakish. Anytime, Hillel, you have a case that sounds like it won't work, the default is, oh, that's not Eish. That's where the animal took the fire and put Mesechsechas Kolabir. Or Hitzis Megufa Shel Eved. Or even Adi Aduye, which is a type of putting it somewhere but by throwing it. But basically, it's Tzoreros, which is the same as if you hone in on the immediate place that the animal touched with fire, either by putting it there, or you putting it there, or by throwing it, that's not Eish. Eish is only what happens after the fire spreads. So this is, again, it's a third type of question. It's not the first two questions. The first two questions in the Chaf Beis were, how could you be chiving your animal's fire according to Reish Lakish? Here the question is, how could you reach Kimlei proportions because it's been mono? But the answer seems to be the same. And then the Gemara introduces the fourth question according to Reish Lakish, which we've seen already, but we're going to be more interested in Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish isn't such a big chiddush, but we dealt with this already on Daf Tes. The Gemara says, what happens if I give it to a pikeach? If I give a fire to a chereshot of a katan, then the Gemara says, I'm pater, chayiv dinu shamayim. But if I give it to a pikeach, then I'm chayiv. So the Gemara says, let's just read the Gemara. Bishlam eman diyam ishim ishim chitzo, about 12 lines up, chitzo de chereshain. I've given it to a cheresh. The cheresh now adopts it as his koch, whatever that means. We're going to have to look at this Gemara really clearly when we get to Biachon. We're not in Biachon yet, but by giving it to someone else, whether he's mentally capable, mentally incapacitated, he takes ownership. Now I'm out of the picture. Okay. El Reish Lakish, but according to Reish Lakish, Ishim Shim Mono, Ilu Masa Shara Lecherashot V'Katan Hachin Ami Delo Mechayiv? How could you exonerate me if I give my fire to a Cherashot V'Katan? If I give my shore to a Cherashot V'Katan, would I be Pater? And what's the Gemara's answer? Yes. If you gave it to the Cherashot V'Katan, when it's tied up really, really well, as opposed to a Gechel. So Gechel is your Pater, and that reminds us of the Gemara Daf Tes Amud Beis, which said there is a difference between giving a shor or a bor to a chereshot of a katan as opposed to giving a fire. Who remembers the Gemara's solution? Why you chayav by a shor and pater by a gecheles? Shor, darkei lin, Tuke. Bor darke lin ture. Gacheles kama de shavakle ma'amya amya vazel. So in that case, that's exactly the case. If you give a gacheles to a chashad v'katan, it's about to become extinguished in your pata as opposed to the shor and bor, which at some point, depending on how we understood it, well, it's not really in a state of being protected. And that's what this Mishnah meant. That if you give, according to Reish Lakish, a gacheles to a chashad v'katan, you'd be pater, even though if you gave a shor kashur and a bor mechusa to a chashad v'katan, you'd be chayiv. So namely, we can solve this. This is a whole different type of question. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the irony Yehuda is that if chitzav is a worse chiyuv, I'd be more putter when I give it to Yechashet v'katan because they adopt the fire and they displace me from the fire. So I'm not chayiv because of chitz. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, if your fire is in mammon, so if I give mammon to Yechashet v'katan, why should I be putter? The answer is depending on what you gave. If you gave something which has capacity to damage, you're not putter. If you gave something which is about to go out, then you're putter. So there are four questions on Reish Lakish, and now we have finished the discussion of Reish Lakish, everyone closing Gemara. We can now start the second part of the sugya, which is the discussion of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? What makes this sugya so intriguing is that it's really segmented and partitioned really nicely. Because most of the excitement for Rabbi Yochanan begins right after the excitement for Reish Lakish ends. Right in the Gemara, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, where we finish the four questions, the Arba Kashyos, okay? We always have a secret agenda to turn our Pesach Seder into lumdas, right? So Bava Kamma is a great way to lumdasize your Pesach Seder. So what is our ways to have lumdas? We already know that Echad Miodea, what's the real answer? I didn't tell you the song, I told you, you forgot it. Rav Amital would teach you the song, Echad Miodea, Echad Miodea. And you have to say a parak in Shas that begins with the word Echad. So Echad Dine Mamnos, Shnayim Miodea, this is easy, Shnayim Ani Yodea. Anyone? High school? Let's see. Arba miyodeya. Saranta would tell us. This is the song they would sing in Europe. They have to know Masechtas by their first name. First name meaning the first word. Tells us the Masechtas. He tells us Perak Arel, Perak Isha, Perak Psuot Nisayis. Tells us that a Rolodex of Prakim and Shas. And tells us it's so familiar that he knew Prakim by their first name. So can you at least know Prakim, some of them, by their first name? Okay. We're ready. Lambda size, Chad Gadja. Everyone is shikar, they're saying Chad Gadja. V'yasa kalba v'achal l'shunra. Oh, is that Shane? Is it Regal? What would the Rambam say? Is that Achila Mishuna? Kalba d'achal imri? Shinra d'achal? So now is our third chance to lambda size Pesach. What was I talking about? I forgot. What was he even talking about? You want to remind me what I was thinking? What are we about to get to? Right, you're Yochanan. What part of Yochanan? Right, the Arba Kashyos, right, the four Kashyos. So it's time, you know, let's say, for example, anyone here the youngest kid in their family, right? It's like it's really mortifying to have to say Arba Kashyos when you're 20 years old. Okay, baby, I already said the Arba Kashyos. You know, I'm going to get you back. Here's my revenge. The four Kashyos are the four Kashyos in Reish Lakish. Okay, what are the four Kashyos in Reish Lakish? Kalba, Kalev Shenatul Harara, Gamol Shenichnas Lachanos, Hayigidi Kafus, Evet Kafus Vigidi Samach, and Masel Echereshat Vekatan. Okay, take that, Abba. Okay, take that. Now, if you let me come back, Shenabet, then I'll ask the four kashas. Okay, here's your left for Jerry. Okay, so this is the four kashas and Reish Lakish. Everything dies down, and the Gemara pays attention to Rabbi Yochanan. Not that the earlier cases don't contain important states in Rabbi Yochanan, but now the focus is on Rabbi Yochanan. It's like such a clear Gemara, where the assault was on Rabbi Shlakish, now the Gemara pulls back and says Rabbi Yochanan. So let's map out the sugya according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Amar Rava. Now Rava steps in. Four lines to the bottom. Chaf Beis and Mabez. Again, we just need to put the pieces on the chessboard. If you don't know what's on the chessboard, you're playing chess by looking at one column, you're going to lose the game. Let's see what's on the chessboard. What do we have? Amar Rava. Kra Umasnisa Mesayile Rabbi Yochanan. By the way, for all you Halacha L'maisa fans, that's a dead giveaway we're going to pass it like Rabbi Yochanan. Once Rava clocks in and he brings a Mishnah and a Pasuk that's for Rabbi Yochanan, and now I'm all the questions one Reish Lakish, okay, you get answer. So when you start to see how Gemara dynamic works, Gemara's attacking Reish Lakish, we had answers for Reish Lakish, okay, but then Rava clocks in with Rabbi Yochanan. Sounds like, you know, Isha Mishim Chitza is going to win the Iowa caucus by a landslide. Okay, Isha Mishim Chitza is going to take it. Amar Rava, Kro Masnisa, Messiah Rabbi Yochanan. Kro Dechsev, Ki Teitze Ish, Yishalim Hamavir Esabeira. So, and really this is the same. We have a Pasuk, and the Mishnah
A little bit later on, it's not really a Mishnah, but it's a Brisa. I'll show you later on. It's an interesting Brisa. Shmamina isha mishum chitzav. Because the pasuk begins Aaron with Eish, and then calls him Hamavir. Creates attribution to the person, not just Mimara. Let's turn to the Gemara Samach Amud Beis, because it's a really interesting Gemara. Not that the Gemara provides anything that we don't have here, but it's a very interesting conversation. Okay? Samach Amud Beis. I didn't give you the Makaris, but don't worry. There's nothing here new otherwise, other than the context. Three lines before it gets white. Yasev, Rav Ami, Rav Asi. Who were they Talmidim of? Can we remember? Rav Ami, Rav Asi? Rav Yochanan. So it's an Amarei Meretz Yisrael. And they're sitting by Rav Yitzchak. Okay, so Rav Yochanan was out that day. He had a grandson, a replacement. So they went to Rav Yitzchak Shir. They're sitting in front of Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Right, what does Nafcha mean? He was a blacksmith, right? Linfach. Okay, Vipach, Be'apav, Nishmas Chayim. So Mar Amalei, Lemar Mar Shmaitse. One has said, let's learn Lamdas. Yes. Mar Amalei, Lemar Mar Agarta. Let's learn some Machshava. Okay, so it's a big machlokas, okay? Between the Lamdanim and the Balei Machshava. Let's learn Rav Kook. Let's learn Rav Chaim. Let's learn the Rav. Oh, I don't know. Which Rav are you talking about? Rav Soloveitcher or Rav Kook? There's a big machlokas. So, Pasach Lememer Agarata. So, you say, no, I'll teach you some Agarata. But Lo Shavak Ma, we don't know who. The Lamdan says, no, no. Pasach Lememer Shmaitza. Lo Shavak Lemar. So, basically, you had a stalemate. So, what are you doing? A stalemate? You make everyone happy. Amalem Emshalach Emashalamad Davar Doma. First, he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. A man has two wives, an old wife and a young wife. The old wife picks out his black hair. I don't want you to look black while I'm going gray. The young wife pulls out his gray hairs. I don't want you to look gray while I'm still black. So I don't want an old husband. I don't want a young husband. In the end, you're bald. Okay, not the end of the world, but in the end, you're bald. So what do you do? Amarlei, line number two, white. Emer l'chumilsa d'shavi l'tarvaichu. I'll talk about a subject that lends to both. I'll give you a yartzeit shiur like the Rav. Right, well, maybe the Rav's yartzeit shiurims are amazing. Gimel Shvat, a couple days ago. These were 4 or 5 hour shiurim that seamlessly blended lamdas and machshava. And you take a look at the Eretz Yisrael, Pasach b'shmeitza v'siyim b'agadata. He would spend an hour and a half discussing lamdas, and then he would go off. And Rav Aaron did the same in his Eretz Yisrael, his Shiva Shirim. He would also, if you look at some of the shirim, would be like an hour of real lamdas, and then which is not just a way to make people happy. For the Rav and Rav Lichtenstein, it was the classic application of Ish Halacha, that the prism through which you see all of life has to be halacha. So to get out there, I'm not saying I agree with this, but to get out there and start talking about machshava based on a medrash, based on, first you start with the halacha. You atomize, you parse information in a logical fashion, then you use those concepts and structures to make the leap. I think of my Rosenzweig probably is a modern application. You look at I didn't read the Sefer, but if you read the Sefer on Yom Kippur that he put out, I didn't read it because I didn't have time, but I imagine it's like 95% halacha or the heavy dosage of halacha lambdas, and from that is the leap. Like I said, that's not I don't subscribe to that, but I appreciate it, and it flavors my experience. But so it's an interesting combination. Okay, the person who set the fire has to pay back. Okay, who set the fire? We think the fire was set by the terrorists, Yimach Shemam, and we just saw there's so many, it's like, what happened 3 months ago is like a collage of all of Tehillim and all of Eicha and all of Jewish suffering. It's like a call-out Holocaust in a day. You can imagine living October 7th for 5 years, we lived through one day of a Holocaust, and it captured everything. So Hashem says, I was the original fire setter. Alay l'shalim, line number three, Esabe Eir Hashem Arti, Ani Hitzeti, Eish B'tzion, Shenemar, V'yatzes Eish B'tzion, V'tachol Yisod L'tzeh. Hashem was the original person, the original fire setter, to send us out of Yerushalayim, v'ani aser livnosa ba'esh, and emar v'ani yelchamas esh saviv v'lechavodei besocha. So, what better way to read a Shmaitza and to read an Agadita and to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all the fire that we suffered over the last 3 months, and the fire, whether it's the fire of October 7th in our kibbutzim, or the fire that literally, man boi v'esh v'mayim akidu shemecha, the fire that our soldiers are sacrificing their lives for, in some cases literal. Just last night, a soldier was killed, and he happened to be a soldier in my son-in-law's Gidur. My son-in-law was in Mempe in Tzanchanim, and it was an explosion, a little explosion near one of the tunnels. So we asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild Yerushalayim with fire. Okay? And then, Shmaitza, what about the Gemara? So he actually quoted our Gemara. Our Gemara quotes him. Pasach HaKasav Beniske Mimono, V'Siyim Beniske Gufo, Lo melacha isho mishum chitza. By calling the person hamavir, so it sounds like it's more of an Adam-like nezek, rather like a mamono-type nezek, which convinced Rabbi Yochanan that isho mishum chitza. So now let's turn back to chaf beis and beis chaf gimel and aleph. The first bit of information we have for Rabbi Yochanan is going to be important as we have a pasuk. Reish Lakish doesn't have a pasuk. Is that good or bad? You decide. I'm just planting these ideas in your mind. Is it better to have a pasuk or better not to have a pasuk? Think about Gemara logic. Think about how the system works. Okay, we'll talk about this in a few minutes. Okay. The next bit of information is as follows. Rava says, you know what? I'm going to be like Rav Lichtenstein. I'm not just going to be supporting my opinion. I'm going to ask him my opinion. Rav Aaron was so intellectually honest, he was self-critiqued. So I'm a Rava. If you hold that Eish is chitzav, okay, now I'm going to use a word that we may or may not agree with throughout this process. Okay, can anyone tell me if it's like chetz and it's closer to which mazik? Adam. So if Eish is really Adam-ish, how can Eish be patur on tamon? If I damage your bag, and in that bag is some concealed wheat, I'm chayev for tamon. There's no patur tamon by Adam Amazik. Once an Eish migrates towards Adam Amazik, how do you justify the patur tamon? And that's a really devastating question. And it forces a rabbi to defend Abai. Rabbi is always defending Abai. You want to know the famous case? It shows you how to think logically, right? Eima tamon didiv, eima tamon didach. Right? Which famous Tana would always defend the other position and therefore we pasuk like that? And this is a giveaway. Who? Beis Hillel. Like Martin Ervin says they're always explaining Beis Shammai, trying to make sense of Beis Shammai. Rava was Beis Hillel like. Right? So Rava is always saying, Eim atama didi, Eim atama didach. Anyone know famous Gemara? Anyone know? Yishalom midas. In Bav Mitzia Chavalef, where Abaye and Rava machlokas, and Rava gives an explanation for Abaye. He asks a kasha and he tries to defend. That's what Torah is. If you want to see a real Ben Torah, says, you know, I'll tell you my derech, you know, but you ask me to explain someone else's derech, this is how I imagine that derech works in Torah and life. Someone only knows one approach, he's not really getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there isn't one approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So open your minds and say, you know what, there are different approaches. That's how our Tanaim and Amarim operated. When you hear people that can't do that, doesn't mean they're not Tmenechan, they're just less attuned to the inner emes of Torah. Because when you see, you know, this is my, this is not the only approach. So this is Mamish Rava saying, here's Abai's Kasha, and here's his answer. Hechem Shkachasa v'nichale, and I answered Abaye, here's the answer. Here is a major, major moment in Lamdas. There are some Eishes that are not Chitzav. And those Eishes that are not Chitzav is when Tamud is an exemption. Classic Eish is Chitzav slash Adam, and there's no Ptur Adam, Tamud, just like there's no Ptur Tamud for Adam. But there is a type of an Eish, which is Chayiv, which doesn't abide by the standards of Chisav, would not be Adam-like, and therefore, that's where your Pater and Tamun, based on the Pasuk. What's the language that Rava uses, where it can't be Isha Mishum Chisav? Don't give me the case, give me the category, then we'll see the case. Anyone? Did I give you this Gemara again? I don't remember. Right, what's the language? Three words? Can you pick it out from the Gemara? Don't look at me, it's not on my forehead yet. Okay. Kalalei Chitzav. Very good, Hillel. Where, for whatever reason, the chetz, momentum, velocity, energy, exertion, stops. What's the mitzias? Where is it not ishim ishim chitzav? Now, can someone give me the scenario, or at least a Gemara scenario? You lit a fire, the fire was contained by a metal, titanium, blast-proof wall, so there's no way the fire is going to get out, and then something happened, and a hurricane came and blew down the wall. So when you lit the fire, it didn't have motion, because it would have been stopped by the wall, and then at some point, a factor change, we'll see if there are cousins of this, where factors change, but in this case, the wall fell. We need Yisrael David. Yes, so Yisrael David will give us an AI rendition of a wall falling. So that is not Isha Mishum Chitzav. That is, anyone fill in the line? Isha Mishum Mamono. And it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan has two different types of Eish. And two Mechayivim. Very good, Seth. There's a Mamono Mechayiv with the Eish Sug, you know, grade B, and that's where Tamun is Pater. Then there's the grade A Eish, which is Chitzav, which is Adam-like, and Tamun is Chayev. So everything Rabbi Yochanan argued against Reish Lakish on Daf Chav Beis goes away. That was all conceptual, but conceptual is important because it helped us, as Arya, sharpen Reish Lakish. all of Yochanan's questions on Daf Kaf Beis forced us to sharpen Rosh Lakish. In the end, you know the beneficiary of those questions are Rabbi Yochanan also, because he buys into Mono. So whatever's on the board is not just Rosh Lakish, but Rabbi Yochanan's subterranean level of Eish, if you don't reach Chitzav. Okay? The final discussion of the Gemara is three lines from the two dots. V'chim me'achar de'islei mishum Chitzav, islei nami mishum Mono. My Benai, which is a strange question. Maybe we'll talk about My Benai. What do you mean? We've already seen My Benai. There are thousands of My Benaios between Isha Mishum Chitzo and Isha Mishum Mono. Just because Rabbi Yochanan also has Isha Mishum Mono, but when he reaches a great AH, there are a thousand differences. That's going to be a very provocative question. But what's the difference? Dala Devarim. If I set a fire and someone gets burnt, I pay Dala Devarim. It's Hei Tashlim, and Nezek Tzari B'Shevis and Boshes. Whereas if it's Isha Mishum Mono, according to Rish Lakish, maxing out Isha Mishum Mono. Or Biochanan's grade B, H, which is only Mishum Mono, I don't pay Heita Shlomin because it's not Mishum Chitzo slash Adam. Okay, so now let's try to just summarize and then we'll start to analyze. Can anyone tell me the three nafkaminos that the Gemara provides us with, whether Isha Mishum Chitzo or Isha Mishum Mono? Or said more literally, between an H, which is Chitzo, according to Biochanan, and an Eish which is only Mimono, according to Rabbi Yochanan, or all Eish according to Rish Lakish. What are the categorically, what are the three halachos that you have by Isha Mishum Chitzav that you don't have by Isha Mishum Mimono? Okay, here's where mapping becomes important. You mapped, okay, it's easy to map. Now let's create categories. Once you have categories, you've quantified, then we can start to analyze. Okay, what are they? What are the three? Just think, no Rishonim. It's a one Rishonim. This is just Daf Yomi learning. Okay, not really Daf Yomi learning, but what are the three halachos that apply to Isha Mishum Chitzav that don't apply to Isha Mishum Mono? What? Who said that? Avi? Arba Devarim. It's Gemara Daf Chav Gimel. Isha Mishum Chitzav pays Hei Tashlumin. Mishum Mono doesn't. Okay, very good. So we've got one. What's another one? Kim Lev Drabimine. You say Yochayev Misa, and then there's Kimlei. We don't say Mishum Mono, and therefore the Gemara was forced to say that this Brisa, according to Shlugas, where you touch the Eved with the fire, which is real murder. And what's the third Afkamina? Taman. Yishim Mishum Chitzo isn't part of Mishum Taman, Yishim Mishum Mono. So whatever we say about Eish is going to have to conform to those three. Some haven't said a word along this. This is just building the structure of your house into which you're going to put your furniture. But anything we're going to say today has to fit those three, unless we read the Gemara differently. Okay, one second, Ellie. Let's just repeat. Isha Mishum Chitzav is going to be Ritzicha, which would lead to Kam Lev Drabine. Isha Mishum Chitzav is going to be a Maisa Adam, which is going to lead to Heita Shlomin, as opposed to Mavona, which is never Heita Shlomin. Isha Mishum Chitzav is going to be Adam-like, and there's no way to pat to you on Taman, with Isha Mishum Mono, or the Apatura Taman. Okay, so now we have our map of Rabbi Yochanan. We're ready to begin our analysis. Okay? Yes, Ellie. Not in the Gemara. Okay. Yeah, but it's not like Rabbi. It's not. Okay, you're reading Tosis into the Gemara, not in the Gemara. Right? If you don't like Tosis, then it's not the definition of Yochanan or Shlakish. Follow? Because you're saying Tosos, and if it's Tosos, it can be Tosos to Kelev, it's Mono. That's not the way Rashi read the Gemara. So according to Rashi, if I don't agree with Tosos, then Tosos of a Kelev could also be Chayav, just like Tosos, even according to Rish Lakish. Okay, so it's not, maybe we'll get to it, but it's not, I want people to see what leaps out from the Gemara proper. Okay? Any other questions? Okay. Let's impress Ellie's father. Where would you start this, Sugya? I know it's hard, it's a hard question, very abstract. Like, what do we have in this sugya that we don't have in every sugya in Shas, and we want to start, I said it before, we have something here that we got to pay attention to. Before we dig down into the weeds and the nitty-gritty details of the Tosfos and the Rashba and the Rebbeinu Peretz and the Tshuvas, the Yad Malachi, what do we have here, like, front level, top level, we got, like, what do you think? Okay, that's one of three in its application. Okay, but very good. Hekev, scope, which halachas does it apply to? Who said it? Is that very good? A pasuk. Okay, yes, you understand why it's more top level? We have a pasuk. Before we get to application, we actually have a pasuk. Okay. So I asked you before, is a pasuk good or is a pasuk bad? Would you rather have a pasuk, if you had a machlokas with someone, and you were trying to win the machlokas, is it good to have a pasuk? Or is it a disability to have a pasuk? So or would you say, hey, I got a pasuk. Can anyone defend the other position? I'm so right. Finish the sentence. Okay, that's too fancy for my taste. I'm just from Brooklyn. I'm a simple Jew. I'm so right that I don't need a pasuk. You give me a pasuk? You need a pasuk? It's so intuitive. I don't need a pasuk. Can anyone tell me what Gemaras those sound like in Shas? I'll start the Gemara. Lamali, Kra, Staro. Can anyone give me examples of that? Well, one is in Bava Kama. In Bava Medbeis. Most of the Gemara, the Gemara tries to learn from Pazan, Lamali, Kra, Staro. Anyone else? Migo, Chafes, and Ksuvos, Lamali, Kra, Staro. See how when you climb into Chazal's mind, you know what their circuitry is like. Rabbi Yochanan, you need a pasuk to teach you Isha Mishum Chitzav? It should be intuitive. Then it's just like Kocho and it's like Adam. Which would make me start to think. Start. We haven't, not up to all the fancy footwork yet, fancy place yet. Can anyone answer that maybe if there's a pasuk and a need for a pasuk, and start to build the model here? What does it mean to you? I'll play devil's advocate and you reject. Eish is my chait. It's my koach. It's Adam. I don't need the Torah to tell me that. It's chitzav. If I have a pasuk, then what? Okay, don't run away. You're running away by analogy. First, hone in. It's like Tzoros. Take out the like Tzoros and tell me what you want to say. It's... First, build your logic, then create analogies. Inside out. What do you think, Alicia?
It's not really my action.
Ah, I think the word it moved out is too general. Don't hide behind. But say your second statement again.
It's not, I didn't really do it.
Right. Say it now in Gemara language or Lamdashir language. It's not really. It's not really Kocho. When the Gemara says Isha Mishim Chitzo, how literally, again, like subliminal messages, do we take, is it mamish kocho and mamish adam? Or no? Same question we asked in Reish Lakish. Is the word mamon literally? Or it's just saying, you know what, Reachlin, yes, chita business is crazy, it's normal, niske mamon. Same question in Reachlin. Is it Reachlin's word chita of absolute? Or is it just based on Reish Lakish, who categorized it as only shore and boys, as a little more than that? And his way of saying a little more than that is chitzav. Let's just think linguistically. If you really, really thought that ishav is mamish, I'm not going to fill in the words because then I'll prejudice you. Could you use better words? Let's say you were scripting Rabbi Yochanan like Reb Chaim, like we'll see. Like Tosfos, like the Ran, not like some other Rishonim. Let's say you're Rabbi Yochanan. How would you express yourself? What would you say if you wanted to argue on Elisha? What would you say? Okay, so what word would you leave out?
Misham.
And what word would you change, Avi? Be more ambitious. What word would you change? Right, you maybe say, who needs the word chitzav? What's a stronger word than chitzav? Kocho, because why is kocho stronger than chitzav? Kocho is a category, chitzav is a scenario. Why using a scenario rather than a category? We know the word kocho. So all of a sudden, before I even start, yes, you're getting to applications and what you're chayiv and sweep, all of a sudden I'm starting to build in my mind our question. Rabbi Yochanan says, Isha Mishum Chitzav. Can you mean mamish kocho? In which case, we have a really, really big problem. Then why isn't it Adam? Maybe he shouldn't be a mazik all day. She's going to haunt us. If Ishav is kocho, I'm not saying this to be vulgar, it's just because we have the Gemara. If I spit at you, what is that called? We know the Gemara says in Daf Gimel, what's kocho v'niyo? Adam. It's called of Adam. So if Eish is like my spitting, or if I shoot an arrow at you, what's that? Adam. There's no Avanesa kol chetz. My spit, my phlegm, my arrow. So if Eish is my arrow, you know what? I can't do this, but I'm going to rip out the whole Daf Chav Gimel for my Shas. Because there is no Eish. Which makes me think, yes, maybe not. Maybe it's Mishum Chitzav, which brings it a lot closer to Reish Lakish. It's not Malon Shizik, it's Gavri, a new Masik. Like, so is it going to Chav. Okay, inside out. Okay, use your analogy and push yourself one step further. Okay, so today we're not going to get much done, because we've gotten a lot done, because setting things up is always helps you navigate. But let's just see two Tosfosin on Daf Chaf Beis and Aleph, as I told you, juicy Tosfosin. But today we're going to read Tosfos really, really carefully. This is going to skim Tosfos for information, you know, going gold hunting in Southern California in 1869, you know, 49, looking for... I'm going to read Tosfos carefully, okay? Because what I just told you, Rabbi Yochanan, you should be convinced that Eish is Kocho and Adam and you shouldn't need a Pasuk. The Rishonim didn't ask that question, but Tosfos asked a different question implicitly. If you're so convinced, let me see if I can give you an analogy, okay? Why don't you go to the beach today? I'm not going to the beach today because the water's too cold. Wrong answer, some people would say. What's the right answer? Why don't you go to the beach today? Because you want to learn Torah, I hope. You don't have to say you're not going to the beach because there's a problem at the beach. Right? You don't say the world is full of goblins. I just like Torah more. When the Gemara asks Rabbi Yochanan, can anyone fill in the analogy? Why don't you hold like Reish Lakish that it's Mammon, what should he say? Because, forget the positive, because it's Chitzav. Because it's Kocho. Because it's more than Mammon. Instead, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? I've got a problem with Mammon, therefore I have to default to Chitzav. That's what God tells us. See how carefully he tells us the Gemara? Bishlama. Let's read the Gemara. Why don't you hold like Reish Lakish? Why don't you max out at Mammon? You know why? Because it's more than Mammon. Because I've got internal intuitive logic that makes me think it's Mamash Adam. And I skipped this a little bit before, so guys, listen carefully. And the Pasuk is teaching me that. The answer to why I need a Pasuk if you hold that it's Mamash Kocho is the Pasuk is teaching me that it's Mamash Kocho, because we'll see what the potential problems can be. As opposed to saying the Pasuk saying it's not Kocho, that's why I need a Pasuk. But if you're so convinced, ignoring the pasuk for a moment, that Isho is chitzav, Arya, either because you feel it intuitively or because the pasuk teaches you that, why does Rabbi Yochanan say, oh, I've got problems with Reish Lakish, that's why I have to say chitzav. I have to learn today because the beach is too busy. Just be proud. Say it loud and proud. Say, I love Torah. I am a chitzav man. It's Kocho. It's not Mammon. There's nothing wrong with Mammon. Nothing wrong with other things. Slabatka Musar. Nothing wrong with the world. I just got a better world. Rabbi Yochanan should say, Yishnei Mishim Chitzav. Tosfos picked up on this issue. Let's see what he says. So he's told you have to read Tosfos 10 times and then learn how to segment and read it backwards, because every Tosfos is a conversation, not a presentation. Let's read Tosfos backwards. Isho Mishum Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, this is the third Tosfos that we're reading on the page. Fifth Tosfos, actually. Rabbi Yochanan, my time elam Reish Lakish. Avol gav, the darish time of Rabbi Yochanan mikraya, or in this pasuk, and again, in Tosfos' mind, the pasuk teaches us that it's mamish kocha. So Rabbi Yochanan should say, you know why I don't hold mamon? Because I have a pasuk. And the pasuk teaches me it's mamish kocha. And I'm not wrong with mamon, it's more than mamon. It's mamish kocha. So now let's read the second shot in Tosfos first, because that's the one which is more consistent. So the second shot says in Tosfos, Dibra Maschel Rabbi Yochanan, Inami, Kosate Daite Hashta, Demande Isle Chitzav, Lesle Mishim Romano. The Kabai, that's the key word in Tosfos, the whole attack on Rabbi Yochanan Noam is not why do you hold Chitzav? I hold Chitzav because I'm a Chitzav man, period. I don't need Mama. The whole question is, in grade B Eish, which you can say Chetz, which according to Daf Chaf Beis, Rabbi Yochanan says is Pater before he has his double layer. That only comes from Daf Chaf Gimel. Rava only introduced that. So when we thought Rabbi Yochanan was binary, I'm Chitzav, and if it doesn't reach the standards of Chitzav, I'm nothing. And says Rabbi Yochanan, why don't you have a step down position? Why don't you also say Mammon? I know you're a Chitzav fan. I know you have a Pasuk. You love Chitzav. And it's Kocho. But there's certain types of Eish that are not going to be Chitzav. So why would you not be Mechayev Mishum Mammon? So he doesn't just assert his love of Chitzav, he also has to attack the potential Mammon. At this stage, Mammon, he doesn't hold Mammon. You see how Tosfos is getting out of the problem? There's no reason that Rabbi Yochanan should have to attack Mammon. The Pasuk for Rabbi Yochanan teaches him, okay? Tosfos, listen to this obvious, climbing into the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk teach us? Now, I don't know what the Pasuk teaches us unless I hear the conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. If I say, Yishai gave me a Pasuk. I don't know what Yishai meant for the Pasuk. And I'll never know. But if I overheard a conversation between Yishai and Aryeh about some halacha, I can reverse engineer how Yishai read the Pasuk based on his conversation. Right? This is always happening. We don't know what a position is, but we heard the conversation and we say, based on the conversation, we don't know what the Pasuk tells us. Is it Mamash Chitzav or not? So let's eavesdrop on the Gemara's conversation with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, why do you not like Mammon? You know why I don't like Mammon? Because the Pasuk teaches me it's Mamash Kocho. That's why I don't like Mammon. And Tosfos, in his second answer, maintains that logic. You're right, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't need to not like Mammon, because he has a pasuk that makes him feel that it's Mamash Chitzav. The whole question was, okay, but there's going to be cases that are not Chitzav, Rabbi Yochanan. In those cases, we aren't the pasuk, it's Chitzav, why don't you step down to Mammon? Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what, I got a problem with Mammon, at least now, and those problems go away in Chaf Yimah. So the second answer of Tosfos is maintaining this first pshat, that's Mamash Kocho, and that's what the Pasuk teaches me, and Rabbi Yochanan's whole conversation with the Gemara is, in failed Chitzav cases, why isn't it also Mammon? But in real Chitzav cases, I don't have to defend why it's Mammon. Now let's read the first answer of Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? Ah, full gav to darish tamid Rabbi Yochanan mikrai, the kasha, why is he attacking Mammon? Just assert your Pasuk. Have a leilok mikra ledrash achrita. Three words that change this whole sukkah. You ready? And Yochanan has a pasuk, but you should have used your pasuk for some other drasha. This svara, Rish Lakish. Because intuitively, Rish Lakish makes sense. Intuitively, no one in their right mind would say Eishes Chitzav. So you have your pasuk? Use your pasuk for some other drasha. And you know what? Rabbi Yochanan agrees. He says, you know what? You know why I'm using my pasuk for my drasha? Because I got a problem with Rish Lakish, because that's a no-no, because it doesn't make sense to me logically, because let's be mamasha. So I have to use my pasuk to teach me chitzav, because it doesn't make sense. Chitzav, I'll use the pasuk, because the other option, the beach is full today, it's dirty, it's polluted. Because you're right, Rish Lakish really makes more sense intuitively. And I got to find a way to unintuitive that shita. I have to find a way to poke holes in Rish Lakish because the logic precedes the pasuk. Everyone, this is very, very subtle discussion. Rabbi Yochanan, in the first pshat Yehuda says, I have a choice how to use the pasuk. And my choice about how to use the pasuk will depend upon whether I like Rish Lakish or I don't like Rish Lakish. And that comes before how I use the pasuk. So I first have to decide whether Rish Lakish is an attractive option. When I decide that it isn't, okay, I got no choice. I use the pasuk for chitzav because the other choice is abominable. Really? That's another way of reading Rabbi Yochanan. I thought the pasuk comes before the logic. So did you. But the Gemara doesn't make it sound that way because the Gemara is asking Rabbi Yochanan, what's your problem with Rish Lakish? And the answer should be, I don't have a problem. I have a pasuk that upgrades Rish Lakish. So Tosfos is climbing into our question. Through the back door. What's a pasuk doing? Do you need a pasuk? The second pshat is if Yochanan says it's intuitive and the pasuk supports me. Before I even think about Rish, I don't have to think about Mammon or not. I'm just convinced, I'm closing my eyes with 100 blindfolds. I'm convinced that Ishim Mishim Chitzav, I have a pasuk. Don't talk to me about Mammon. Yochanan says, okay, but there are cases that your Chitzav won't work, so why Mammon? Okay, so I'll deal with it. As opposed to a world in which Rabbi Yochanan is not convinced that Chishav is Chitzav, and he doesn't know what the Pasuk, and we don't even know if the Pasuk is telling me that in the Maskana, And therefore, you have a million ways to use this pasuk. Maybe the pasuk should teach your mama, and you can flex the pasuk. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, I got a problem with mama. Therefore, I'm forced to say chitzav. Now, there could still be that option, but it's a whole different voice. And Rabbi Yochanan. Yes, Azari.
Is Tosfos' first answer saying, or necessarily implying that the spar on the pasuk is mutually exclusive, you couldn't have both?
Could be. Could be. There are different ways to read Tosfos. But Tosfos is maintaining the Gemara's line of reasoning, which is so antithetical to what we would think. We would think that you have a pasuk, so whether the svara is good or not, you have a pasuk that overshoots the svara of Ishim Shemimono. The second shot is saying, no. When it comes to real Ish, we don't have to have this conversation. This is just a sub-conversation for grade B Ishes. That's what makes Tosfos so attractive. But in the first shot in Tosfos, we're having a frontline conversation. And Rabbi Yochanan has a choice what to use the pasuk for, and he only chooses, I mean, look at Tosfos. It's an amazing Tosfos. So you just take a second to absorb it. Read it again. Should have used the pasuk for another drasha, maybe even for Ramona, maybe some other drasha, I don't know. Because it makes so much sense. So before you decide how to use the... Listen to what I'm saying. Atan, Alicia. Before you decide how to use the pasuk, first figure out your logic. What do you mean how to use the pasuk? The pasuk has one message. I don't have to decide how to use the pasuk. If it doesn't, the message of the pasuk is not teaching me that the anatomy of Eish is not Mishkoch. The pasuk teaches me something else. Okay, you ready for an even more subtle Tosfos? I told you, there's a lot of great methodology here. Now the more subtle Tosfos. Okay. Remember, just because we need to filter out, we only want conversations that are in Rabbi Yochanan's voice. We don't want to hear Rish Lakish's voice today. We want to hear Rabbi Yochanan's voice today. Just like on Friday and yesterday, we're trying to find cases of Rish Lakish, we're trying to find cases of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? So, Memonius Be Mamasha. Who said that? Next Tosfos. Who said it? Whose voice is that? Rabbi Yochanan. So this is a good Tosfos, because everything in this Tosfos is going to be explaining something Rabbi Yochanan said. So Tosfos is saying, Rabbi Yochanan, you have a problem with Eish as Mamon because it's impalpable, it's intangible. I have another mazik that's intangible. What's Tosfos' first kasha? Let's summarize it, Bor. So we answered Bor that even though Rabbi Yochanan, follow the logic, doesn't like Mamon by Eish, he can still accept Mamon by Bor in some way, shape, or form. What's the next question in Tosfos? Okay, I found another mazik that's intangible. What was that? Source of wind. The answer is, okay, the wind is impalpable, but the animal is palpable. Okay, so namely, Tosfos explained why Rabbi Yochanan has a palpability problem with Eish, though he doesn't have it with Bor and with Tzaras. Great. We went through that already the other day, when we were trying to think about how to defend Rish Lakish according to Rabbi Yochanan's attack. Now listen carefully, because this is a major moment. Wow, it's going to be a little bit, not intricate, but a little bit subtle. So take a second and breathe it in. Now Tosfos says, Rabbi Yochanan, you don't like calling impalpable things mamon. How can you call impalpable things chitzav? And what's Tosfos' answer? That's what I would say. What does Tosfos say? You know what? There is a type of a chitz that's impalpable. So chitzav and impalpability are not mutually exclusive, but mammon and impalpability are, because there's no mammon that's impalpable. Let's read Tosfos. While I'm reading it with you, someone attacked Tosfos. You got to attack Tosfos. You don't show respect to Tosfos by sheepishly accepting what they're saying, because then you don't get to the root of what they're saying, because you don't have an alternative. You see, a Tosfos doesn't make sense 1,000 times. Care enough about something to argue with it. If you don't care, you're not going to. There's no baseline of comparison. What is Tosfos doing? Line number 3 in Tosfos. Tosfos says, "The ain shum mamon shaloye be mamasha." There is no mamon that's impalpable. So mamon and impalpability don't mix. And therefore, I'm not going to say mamon. Avol yesh chetz shein ba mamashas. Kigon shibur kli beruch piv. Leo, let me take it clear. Everyone, look. You see? Impalpable wind blowing a clay. So there's a chetz like Adam HaMazik. It's impalpable. Oh! Chitzav and impalpability go together. Mamon and impalpability don't go together. So I can get away with calling Eish chitzav even though it's impalpable. Namely, Isho Mishum chitzav has to pass the palpability test. What? What are you talking about? Why does Yishim Yishim Mechitzer have to pass the palpability test? If you're in the discussion at Mamma, palpability is going to be a problem, and therefore that's what Yochanan's concern. Yishim Yishim Mechitzer, Yishim is on the Mamazik. It's all different form. Mamon Amazik, you're chayiv for the Pshia, and you're chayiv for the ownership. So, if there's no palpable thing, you can't be chayiv because everything collapses. We spent 2 days trying to justify Mamon on something that's impalpable. Because Mamon and impalpability don't make sense. Because everything about Mamon requires palpability. And that's what Yochanan's concern. And Tosafot is saying, oh, you're so concerned about Eish. Why weren't you there for Bor raising problems? The answer is, I'll solve Bor. Why weren't you there when we learned Tzveros? I'll solve Tzveros. But Chitzav is Adam Amazik. I don't need to pass the palpability test. Why is Tosafot say, oh, Rabbi Yochanan, you need palpability. It's all, you don't like Mamon. Where's your palpability in Chitzav? And you're calling Eish Chitzav. The answer is, Adam Hamazik. Isha is Kocho. I don't need palpability. It's a whole different circuitry. It's a whole different Mechayev. I'm not in the world of Mamon. I'm in the world of Adam Hamazik. This is an amazingly provocative Tosafot. The whole first part of Tosafos, the line of reasoning makes sense. The answer is a little schwer. We dealt with them. You are so concerned, Rabbi Yochanan, with palpability. That's why you rejected Reish Lakish. How come you accept Bor? You don't accept Eish as Mammon. How can you accept Tzveros as Mammon? So we'll answer why those are more palpable. Whatever the answers are, Ashtaya. And then Tosafos turns around, oh, Mr. Palpable, you're so, so spoiled. You grew up on the Upper East Side. Oh, and, Alex isn't here today, so I listened to the shiur. You're so, so rich and snooty. And you have palpability. You can't be Mammon. How can it be Chetz? What? I use the palpability test to gauge whether it could be Mammon. I'm not describing Eish as Mammon. I'm describing Eish as Adam Hamazik. It's a different world, and Mamasha doesn't make a difference. And that's exactly what you said. And that's not what Tosafot says. Because Tosafos is on this side of the equation. And now I know what Tosafos is saying because I cared enough to ask on him and to understand him. You would never ask that question if you held like that. If you held as Mamash Adam Mamazik, that question doesn't begin. I'm disclaiming Mamon because Mamon has to be Mamashos. I'm calling it Chetz because I'm in a different world. Tosafos argues in Reb Chaim, as we'll see in a few minutes. Yes, Reb Chaim would never ask that question, given his position we'll see in Shechein and Monesh. So before I get to fancy schmancy Yossi Sherman applications and scopes, and just read the conversation of the Gemara. If you know what you're looking for, in a million years, Yishai, you would not know what Tosafos means unless you already had the models, unless you have some sounding board against which you judge the voices of the Rishonim. Now that we know the sounding board is, and you have to ask, do I agree with Tosafos? Not because you're trying to reject Tosafos, you want to understand what is Tosafos saying. If you don't have a baseline, do you agree or disagree, then every idea is true, and every idea is the same, and if every idea is the same, then nothing stands out, and there's no categories. So before we even start our conversation, we know there's a pasuk. I'm not sure why we need a pasuk. And we have two juicy tosfos. Again, I'll repeat the tosfos and summarize. The first tosfos is, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to negate Mamon? Let him just assert Chitzav. Right? That's a nice way to categorize it. Oh, I don't like Mamon. Don't negate Mamon. Just say, I'm beyond Mamon. I'm bigger than Mamon. Tosfos has two positions. The second question is, when Tosafos is trying to ask Rabbi Yochanan, oh, you're such a palpability freak, and you need palpability, or else it's not Mamon. How do you deal with Bor? How do you deal with Tzveros? Okay, I'll solve them. Okay, how do you call Ishav Mishum Chitzav if it's impalpable? And he gives an answer, because there's some Adam Amazik that's impalpable. What do you mean? It's Adam Amazik. That could be what Tosafos' answer is. By proving there's a case of Adam Amazik is not palpable, I show that Adam Amazik is different, but the language should be, you don't ask the question. So this is where we are right now. Let's move to a Yossi before your question, because everyone knows that the real, real way to prove which way it is, now look at my hands, because I'm going to talk about this twice, is the scope. Is Ishav Mamish Kocha or not scope? Now one type of scope was what Yossi said before, applications. Kam Lev Drabimine, Hey Tashlumin, Tamun. Another type of scope, which is going to be a little bit more subtle, is what types of esh do we consider mishum chitza? Where do we draw the line between grade A esh and grade B esh, which we call, again, what's the line, Avi? What's the line of grade B esh? What do we call that? Kalu lechitza. What other types of grade B esh can we find? What types of winds? What types of candles? What types of, not just looking in the back end when the wall fell, but what does it need? What do I need in the beginning to generate Isha Mishum Chitzav? Well, that depends on what Isha Mishum Chitzav is. So by looking at the scope of what is considered Isha Mishum Chitzav, it's a little harder. That's not on the surface level. We have to dive down to the depths of the sugya and try to pick out those bits of information. But before we get to that, sometimes we don't have this. We have the luxury of Rishonim speaking in ways that make us feel one way or the other, and including Reb Chaim. Again, I forgot which Rishonim I gave you, so we'll just start, we'll read together, I'm not going to ask. Let's just see the Rabbeinu Hanano, then we'll see the Chiddush Eran, which you've probably seen, a nice little tidbit of information, okay? Seeing 13th century Spanish Rishonim trying to get their minds around gravity. I don't know if you read it, again, I gave you the whole Ram by accident, but you'll see Rabbeinu David, and then we'll see the language of the Chaim, and also the language of Rabbeinu Tam. And then we'll end Shia. Again, now we're not moving forward logically. We're not going to say, oh, we found some new information. Now we're just going to say, oh, that Rishon sounds a lot like this approach, that Rishon. Now we're just looking at Lashonis and Rishonim. Again, in many, many sugyas, you don't have this. Many sugyas just have Rishonim as I are stating the halachic positions, and you need to infer from that, oh, he probably holds this model. But be aware when you have Rishonim using language, oh, this sounds this way, this sounds that way, using Briscoe language and trying to categorize it. So let's start with the Rabbeinu Hananel on Daf. Chaf Beis and Manalef. Again, a line here, a line there. This is easy reading. We're not going to have to delve into Tosfos' assumptions. Look at Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay, Reish Lakish, I'm sorry, Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Chaf Beis and Manalef, Isham Isham Chitzav, Ke'ilu, Biyadav, Make, Vehu, Hamazik, Biatzmo, Vedino, Kedin, Adam, Hamazik, Atzmo. Okay. That's an easy one. What does Rabbeinu Hananel hold like? Which position? Chitzav Mamash. Can't say it more clear. Classic Italian style. Can't be more clear. What I was like mentioning is so few Italian Rishonim. We get an Italian in the room. We respect the Italians. Okay. So Rabbeinu Hananel ben Chushiel Itmar, North African, then Italian. Itmar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Shem Chitzav Keilo Biyadav Make Behu Hamazik Biatzmo. Vedino, Kedin, Adam, Hamazik Biatzmo. Those lines are going to get this Italian into hot water. Hamazik, that's a member. Anytime you say that, we got the Adam problem. The advantage of not making Chitzav is that you've got space between Esh and Adam, because Esh isn't really Chitzav, it's really a separate Mazik, Yagabi, which has Adam-like qualities, because it's more direct than Reish Lakish's version. The second time you call it Adam, whoa, that's too much. We need to create space between categories. So we'll see how to solve that issue. Okay. Let's move over to the Ran. The Ran is in a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Again, I don't remember. I just wrote things fairly quickly, so I apologize. I could have given you a few lines in the Ran, but I'll just set up the Gemara. We'll see what the Ran says, and then we'll see something unrelated to our sugya. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, we're talking about someone who throws a rock and kills someone. If I throw a rock and on the upward trajectory, I kill someone. Let's say he's standing on the roof and I throw the rock and it hits his forehead, David and Goliath, so I'm chayef. But let's say Goliath becomes a midget and the rock hits him on the way down. Then I'm pater. So let's see what the Ran says. Can I have Dovi Ran? Can I have a sheet of the Ran? Okay, thank you, Alicia. Give you Alicia one. So the Ran is in the beginning. I need the first page also. Thank you, whoever put it up. Aisha, I think, whoever put it up yesterday. Okay. The Gemara is actually talking about throwing a rock against the wall, and it rebounds off of the wall and hits the person and kills him. Let's read the Ran, because we know how to read Rishon. We like reading Rishon. Farshim mechamentamim, shim dechai gab nekochahu. It bounces off the wall. It's your force. Yechayev. Kochah kegufa by Adam Amazik. Vidzarek tzor lemalu v'achal is done nam yechayev. Let's say you throw up in the air and it goes sideways. For whatever way it goes sideways. And you have koch kochah, it's a reduced level. The Hikshu Alzeh. So now he's asking Akasha. Okay, we'll see who. Ramu, Dilemma lo yechayvi azlevin tachas mamish. Why should you be putter if the heaven falls? Shazvika shalosh shazarka even the mala chiva lohi rida azals. It caused the downward spiral. Why shouldn't throwing a rock up and then it falls down be like sliding a field? Okay, so in the middle of Sanhedrin, you got a nice Bava Kama island. Okay, by the 61. Okay, so now we're starting to dig. Okay, let's see if we can take a moment to do a little thinking. I know we're not doing much thinking now, we're just reading. Let's take a little moment to do some thinking. In order for Esh to be Chitzav, okay, what must it overcome? What are the barriers to calling Isha Mishum Chitzav, logical barriers? Because if we erect enough barriers, hello, there may be so much that we have to say it's not real Chitzav. So if you're looking at Esh, what's the difference between shooting an arrow, or spitting, or blowing with force, and Esh? So the easy one is Kochach. Let's read Rabbeinu Peretz in Bava Kama just to see this, and that's what the Ran says. That's relatively easy to overcome because I can predict the wind patterns, and if I can predict something, it's like I adopt them as my tools. But that sounds like one problem that Eish has to overcome to be Chitzav. Look at the Rabbeinu Peretz, if you brought it. If not, I'll just read it. You can hear the brisker questions. Yesh l'tmo aktsas. Lama hutzrach lomer tam b'isho yosem ishar nezikin. Don't just dive into the Gemara, take a step back. Why does the Gemara never say, Shein Mishumma, Karen Mishumma? It effectively says it by Bor, but doesn't say it by any of the others. Why all of a sudden when you get to Eish, we're trying to categorize it? It's Taras Ezrachayev. V'yesh lomar, lefit lefamim shein ha'esh mazik, kimai deharuach shem alechisa. Deharuach lo yamazik. Imkein eno maisa adam, because koach achmur, which we've seen 1,000 times, by the way, guys, just because we all like charting the ripple effect, okay, and we'll get to this a lot in the sugya, if Eish is really Adam, then what else is going to change? Possibly? Adam, because we've expanded the set of Adam and Mazik. If Eish is not in the group of Adam and Mazik, then Adam and Mazik can be very hardcore. If Eish is in the group of Adam and Mazik, then we may have to dilute Adam and Mazik in order to allow the Frishka, the Eish guys to come into the group of Adam and Mazik. Not allow them to come to Yeshua, God dilute the. So Adam could change. What else is a problem to say Yeshua Mishim Chisav, not just the wind? Anyone dig down to what's the difference between trying to make it visual and Eish? Not just the wind. What else is the problem? Avi. Beautiful. Right. What am I lighting? This piece of wood. Which lights the next grain of wood? Which next lights the next piece of wheat? Which lights the next house? Which lights the next house? Which lights the next building? Which lights the next gas canister? Which ignites an ammunition building? Which sets off, I don't know, an oil fire? Oh, and you happen to be in that house. Let's say it's kocho, de kocho, de kocho, de kocho, de kocho, de kocho, de kocho. That's a big problem, guys. That's not your little koach achmor problem. That's a really big problem. That's a financial problem, which we'll get to. How do you solve that problem? Mishanim didn't really articulate that issue. Azariah.
Maybe that's how you need a mashus, according to this.
Maybe. We'll have to see. We have to see where we're heading. The Ran is not worried by that. The Ran says, "Dechayev mishum kamavgeish b'sadeh v'acharech baruch mitzuya 61 hachi kaimelon shafah b'shein elei sholechas b'kocho klal." Sounds like it's the wind problem. The wind brings it. Here is the Ran speaking like the Rabbeinu Chananel me'achashu madlika b'makom ruach mitzuya roen oso. Okay, now it's the lumbus. Roen oso kiilu hu atzmo asa. That's pretty convincing. Not as much as Ben Chanano, but Ron Oso, Kilhu Basma Asa. I could maybe change it if you went back to the other model, but let's for a moment assume the Ran holds like Ben Chanano, and which other 19th century Belarusian rabbi held like them? Reb Chaim. Okay? Dovi Passover Reb Chaim. Have to read it. I want to take out the Reb Chaim. It's in Hilchos Shechinim. Reb Chaim quotes a Tosfos in Sanhedrin. Tosfos wants to know. Oh, I'm sorry. What? Forgot. Okay.
the Ran is introducing his Svara Vesh within Rabbeinu David's question. So if Isha and Shimchitzo, so guys, all you Newtons, okay, if I throw something up and it goes down, that should be like Isha and Shimchitzo. So why am I not Chayev for the rock hitting someone on the way down? Why am I not Chayev if it hits someone on the way down? Okay. So the answer is, all you physics experts, no? What is bringing the rock down? The magnetic field of the earth, not my energy. All right, doesn't mean if I throw something up and it goes down, or I just hold something and I don't put any energy and it goes down, falls down, right? Because when I'm throwing with the upward trajectory, I'm opposing gravity. My force is causing the impact. When it falls, it's... Rabbeinu David is like getting there. It's like a pre-gravity definition. It's a famous Rabbeinu David. Let's read Rabbeinu David. He says, let's read, who is Rabbeinu David? Anyone know? Talmud Muvhak of the Ramban. Rabbeinu David Bon Pied. Bon Pied, Bon in like good, it's French and Spanish, Bon. David Bon Pied, he wrote on everything, probably 12 Masechtos. We classically only have him on Psachim, which we found about 100 years ago. And on Psachim, it's extremely valuable because there's no Ramban. And he effectively plays the role. Rabbik is in love with Rabbeinu David. He's like legendarily. If you see Rabbik and you want to start a conversation, I learned to go to Rabbeinu David. Okay, so you have 3 hours or 5 hours. I'll tell you what. Because he really got his Rebbe. He was really the Talmud Mufak of the Ramban. Mamish Talmud Mufak, he got him. He quotes the Ramban all the time. The Ran quotes Rabbeinu David very, very often. We see Reish Dalet, Rabbeinu David. Recently, very, very recently, we found a lot of Rabbeinu David's, a lot of the Moed Masechtas, but he wrote on everything. He wrote on Baba Kama, I believe. I thought, look on the encyclopedia what he wrote on. About 12, 13 Masechtas. So one of the lost Rishonim. Okay, Talmud of the Ramban, again, so you're talking about 13th century, late 13th century, early 14th century in Spain. So he's Kasha, which the Ran quotes is, when I throw something up, why am I not Chayev for the downward impact? And he says, let's see the answer. Aval hayirida lamata, okay, when it goes down, ein ba poel klal, you're not causing the downward spiral. Ela shamachmas kveda hiyoredes. This is the pre-Newtonian idea of gravity. And when something falls, it's the internal weight that drags it down. We know it's not based on weight. It's based on magnetic draw theory of relativity when it falls down, but based on the weight. But either way, it's not based on my force. When it falls down, there's no force. And when I throw it up, the weight drags it down, or the magnetic pull of the earth drags it down. El Shemach Mas Kveda here read this. Vim Af Im Hargo, next page, Biridaso, Lo Nasezeb Bepoel, El Kovid Ha'eben Hu Shehizik Me'elav. It's the weight of the stone that causes the nezek. It's not your maisa. Kain kasa Rabbeinu David b'shem rabosav ba'alei atosos. Of course, Rabbeinu atosos here, not Ramban. And then the Ran gives a different answer. We're not going to get into the Gemara Sanhedrin. So it's a nice Ran for two reasons. A, because he quotes an Ishim Shemchisa line that sounds like Rabbeinu Hananel. B, because he quotes Rabbeinu David, giving us a pre-gravity theory as to why downward spirals are not caused by the maisa adam. Anyway, let's just read Rabbi Chaim. I'll be very quick. We'll get back to this Tosos. We just want to see Rabbi Chaim's Lashon Yasi before we get to applications. Tosos and Hedjan Ayin Zayin says, if you hold Ishim Shemchitzav, then an analogous case to Eish should be a good Shechita. What's an analogous case to Eish? If you're holding the knife and the knife falls from your hand and performs a good Shechita, Tosos in Sanhedrin asks Akasha, being that it's analogous to setting a fire which just moves on its own, letting a knife drop, it moves on its own. If it's Isha Mishim Chitzo, it should be a good Shechita. That's a pretty dead giveaway that Isha Mishim Chitzo is not a unique halacha to Eish. It's establishing the physics that things that you send, even though they're not your spit, even though external items, they're considered Isha Mishim Chitzo. Once, yes, you expand it beyond Nezikin, once you extend, we'll have to say, oh, there's Nezikin or not, once you extend it beyond, and Reb Chaim connects to Das. This isn't a Reb Chaim, the thought of the language is just amazing. He says, why don't you say that it's a good Shechita? The Lekha Lemeimer, Reb Chaim says, the Yishim Yishim Chitzav, Ein Zerak Zeres HaKasav Bin Ezekin. Don't think it's just an Eish Zeres. Don't think this.
We say come live dramedy, which means the chiyav misa. Degam benefashal schayv yishim shem chitzo. Hare, here's the lamdas line number 6. Dehadi yishim shem chitzo v'lachol milei. V'im kein kari kasha demayishna benaflasak and yado deshchitaso psula. Now we'll see in Reb Chaim's answer to Tosfos, does he walk away or not? But the question makes it sound like Ben Chana. We'll get back to this Reb Chaim. The answer may walk it down and say, you know what, Yishuv is not mamash chitzav, but the way Reb Chaim explained Tosfos kasha makes it sound like if Yishuv is mishum chitzav, then why isn't it good shita? So we have Ben Chanano, we have the Rana Sanhedrin, we have Reb Chaim paraphrasing Tosfos kasha in Sanhedrin, but it's implicit in Tosfos. On the other end of the poll, we have the Rabbeinu Tam. I sent you this on the WhatsApp. I have no clue what I put on the Makaros, but let's see the WhatsApp. Here's Rabbeinu Tam. I think it's time for a new Rabbeinu Tam, so I gotta find it. Lost my cover a long time ago, but let's see the Rabbeinu Tam, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, Midi Rabbeinu Tam, actually, how he explains Ishim Ishim Chitzav, and then we'll stop and we'll just try to think about where we're heading next in the Sugya. Okay, this is all an introductory shir before you get to nafkamina this, nafkamina that. Just reading Tosfos, reading the Pesukim, reading the Gemara, putting the pieces on the chessboard, like the language of Mishonim. Let's see, Daf Chav Beis, Amin Aleph. In the meantime, I send it to you on the WhatsApp. Isham Isham Chitzav Perish Eish Shechiva Tara Alav Chiyav Chitzim Yeshba. What word does he slip in? Who else used the word Chiyav to dilute someone else's Shita in this Sukkah? Tosfos. How did Tosfos call Rish Lakish? Not Isham Isham Imano, but Chiyav means it's a category, not a. That's a giveaway. Chiyav. And just in case you thought that Rav Shimoni, some other shir is better than Rav Taran shir, just in case you missed it, just in case you missed it, he repeats it. Lav chitzim gemurim heim. Guys, you can't get any clearer than that. Lav chitzim gemurim heim. And you know how I'm convinced, says Tamid Rabbeinu Tam, Basa Rabbeinu Tam, that it's not Chitzim Gemurim? Because if it's Chitzim Gemurim, then what is it? Ends with Dam and starts with Adam. And then you wouldn't need a Pasuk for Eish. The Im Kain, Lo Hayitzarech Lichtov Eish. The Pshita Lan, Ki Amazek B'Chitzim Chayiv. Avi! Avi! V'chein Muchach Lashon Dekama Mishum Chitzav. That's why Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan says Mishum and V'chein Nami Yesh Lefarish. By the way, the same game I'm playing in Rabbi Yochanan, I'm going to play in Reish Lakish. Yishem Mishum Imano Chiyav Mamon Yesh Bo Mishum Imano. Okay, that was already Thursday Shir and Monday Shir. Okay, so now we're prepared to get into the Sukkah, right? The actual nitty gritty details of the Sukkah. Our first stop is going to become Leib Drabamine. Why should there become Leib Drabamine by Eish? Or to ask the question in Reb Chaim's language, does that mean that Yishuv is Chitzav Mamish, and that's why Yechayev Misa? Or are there other ways to explain, Kam Leib Drabamine by Eish? The next step will be Dal Dvarim by Eish. Why should there be Dal Dvarim by Eish? Same question. Probably notice a little more from your Hachovel experiences. And then after that, Yassi will say, well, what does it take to be Yishuv Yishuv Chitzav? That's not so clear in the Gemara. Is this Yishuv Yishuv Chitzav? Is this Yishuv Yishuv Chitzav? Well, it depends what Yishuv Yishuv Chitzav means. Yishuv Yishuv Chitzav is Adam Mamish. You can have a very high set of standards to be Adam Mamazik. I say, you know what? You haven't made the grade. You're still grade B because you're not Adam Mamazik. As opposed to saying Yishuv is just a new halacha that's more direct than Mamon and have a very loose set of parameters. Okay, it could be Yishuv Chitzav also. So we'll try to find those also. Then when we're finished, then we'll get to Tamon a little bit. We'll have to then open up our minds to Tamon, what Tamon is, why should Egidim Shem Chitzav and Mamon, what does the show us about Chitzav? We need to learn a little bit about Tamon. So hopefully by, I don't know, the end of this week, maybe one extra show next week, we finish again. These are like a 4 or 5, not mega sug is like 10, 12 shiurim and saros, but about 4 or 5 shiurim each. But to be able to see, it's really a nice sugya because it's just, it doesn't tax your brain. It's not like the saros, you know, press the logic, but it's just all the factors and methodology are here.
Okay, so I'll pick this up in Rosh Hashem tomorrow. Okay.